Hello and welcome to the Book Launch Show. I'm your host, Tim Grawl, and I've been working with authors to help them build their platforms and launch best-selling books for over 8 years. I've launched dozens of best-selling books. They've gone as high as number one on the New York Times, Wall Street Journal, Washington Post, and other bestseller lists. I've also worked with authors just getting their first books off the ground and out into the world. I've created this show to share the strategies and tactics I've learned along the way. This episode is part two of a conversation I had with Charlie Hoehn about his Kickstarter project to launch his book. Now, this has always been something I'm really interested in. I've never run a Kickstarter campaign for a book. And so it was really nice to, you know, just sit down, talk to Charlie and learn from him. So in the first episode, we talked about some of the logistics of getting it set up, of planning and all of that. And this one, we really dig into the marketing side of it. He did a lot of research ahead of time. And in this episode, we really talk about what he learned in his research leading up to his Kickstarter launch. So it's a really great episode. We dig into the nitty gritty. I think you're going to get a lot of tactics out of this and learn some great things from this. I know I did. So let's jump in and get started. So you're at the point now where you have the book together. And so talk about what you're planning on doing to promote the book and put the book out into the world.
Yeah, let's talk about the fun stuff. All right. So I'm going to be doing a Kickstarter because this just seems so ripe for Kickstarters. In the past, I've done just email list podcasts and stuff, and not to knock podcasts by any stretch because we're on one. But I've never done a Kickstarter. I've always wanted to do one. I just love Kickstarters. So what I did in preparation for the promotion is I studied the top performing books in the publishing category and in the art books category. And I listened to tons of podcasts from the women that did Rebel Girl, Bedtime Stories for Rebel Girls. I listened to a bunch of their interviews. I reached out to them. I reached out to other people who've done successful Kickstarters. John Lee Dumas did a great series on Kickstarter success stories. That's a good podcast to check out if you're doing a Kickstarter. He did those interviews, I thought, very brilliantly to not only create content for his list, but also to prepare him for his Kickstarter launch. And he had one of the biggest launches of all time. So what I've been doing really, Tim, is I have been preparing with the positioning of this book. So in the first part of this episode, you heard me rattle off the explanation for this book. That is the result of painstaking rewrites of what this book is about and why it matters. I've written that script, I think, rewritten it eight times for the position.
I got to stop you.
Yeah.
I'm going to come back to that. But I want to go back to how you entered the world of Kickstarter. And I think this is one of the things that so many people can learn from, because so many times when people try to do something new, they either just wing it,
right,
or they like Google it and just read articles on how to do it, not understanding that probably 9 out of 10 people that have written articles on how to be successful with Kickstarter have never actually been successful with Kickstarter.
Right.
So the fact that, so the two things I want to point out here are one, you went to the website, looked at the Kickstarters that have been successful, and you were probably
like mine too.
Okay. And you were looking for like, what do these have in common? The ones that are successful. The other thing you did is you reached out to the people that had run successful Kickstarter and asked them for help.
Yes.
And like, how many people did you reach out to, and how many people responded, like helping you just with what they learned?
Well, for one, I started with, before I answer that, I want to say I started with podcasts because those conversations were already there, so I could instantly access them. And beyond that,
how'd you find those?
Google. I looked, okay. Like once I found Bedtime Stories for Rebel Girls, which did over $500,000 on Kickstarter and is very similar in structure to my book. You know, it's a collaborative art book. I Googled them and looked for podcast interviews that they did. And then I reached out and asked them if there were more interviews that they did. And because really, like, if they can answer all of my questions in those interviews, I don't need to talk to them, right? So generally, I start there. I reached out to probably 5 or 6 more people, and I would say 4 or 5 said yes. So, I mean, you could say it's because of my circumstances or whatever, but I disagree. I think Kickstarter people tend to be helpful to people who are doing interesting things. So in people who are being sincere, I had an amazing conversation with a gal who told me like everything I needed to know. I was blown away. I was taking notes on everything she said. And there were other people I spoke with that I was like, yeah, I know everything you're telling me. I know. But man, those conversations were all really valuable.
Yeah. And that's what I found too, is like how collaborative this world is. You know, people are pretty quick to share what they know. And so that's what I got to stop and pull that out, is like, if you're starting something new, you know, research what's already out there, but find people that have been successful doing what you're trying to do, not random bloggers. And then reaching out, and what I would guess is, and what I found is, if you do your research ahead of time, so like you said, you listen to all the podcasts, and then once you reach out, your questions are on such a high level that people know you've done your research, right? And they're willing to invest the time. It's those times when you, and I'm sure you get the same emails I do, which is basically like, I'm trying to write a book, what should I do? And it's like, you know, like I don't even know where to start. But like, if people are like, I've tried this, I've tried this, I've tried this, and I'm stuck on this point, or I'm a little lost here, it's like, right. Oh, those are easy to answer and fun to answer.
Yes, yes, exactly. It's really fun to talk to people who know what they're talking about.
Yeah. So, I got to stop you there, because what I want to point out here is, you didn't know what you were talking about, and then you did, because you did the research, right? Yeah. So it's not that you have all this experience on Kickstarter, so people will talk to you because you know what you're talking about. It's because you did the, you know, the elbow grease of actually going out and doing that.
Right.
All right. So I want to come back to the positioning, because this is really important too, that not enough people think about, is how to talk about their product. So you said you worked really hard on how to talk about the product. So what was your process for that?
So my process in the past has not been good, right? The problem has been, I'll tell you what my process is in a second, but I want you to understand, this is not something that came easily to me. I would always just kind of wing it, like you said, and it was a more of an intuition thing. But I would find myself constantly erring and making the mistake of talking too much about myself, because I thought that's what people wanted to hear. I thought they would be impressed by it. It's never the right thing to do. People don't care. And the best resource I've found, and this is what I've studied like super hardcore, is StoryBrand by Donald Miller. I have no association with him. Or the company. This isn't an affiliate plug. Like, I love his stuff. I think it is so sharp, so on point, and so easy to go through, no matter what your product or business is or book is. And it helped me go through that. And the key insight that you can take away from StoryBrand is this. You as the author are not the hero. Your reader is the hero, and you are the mentor. Your reader is Luke Skywalker, and you are Obi-Wan Kenobi. You're the guide that can say, look, I know what your struggle is. I know what your problem is, and I know where you're trying to go. I've been there, and I got there, and I have a plan or a product that can help you get there as well, right? So for me, it's like I speak to the reader when I say, you want more from work. You want it to be more than a paycheck. Like, that's me too. But I understand where you're coming from, if that's what you're about, right? And that's what this book is about. So I spent so much time rewriting those. And when I had the story brand structure in front of me, that made it crystal clear. And I was able to get the script done in a couple of hours.
Yeah. And so, yeah, because I've go through the same process. But it took me much longer as far as like how to talk to authors as well, because it's positioning it in a way where you're, yeah, that's such a great way to put it, of like, you're not the hero, the reader's the hero. And so did you just like write some things out and then like start sending it out to see what resonated, or like, so, how'd you come up with like the final version?
Yeah. So the initial drafts were me winging it, and like taking sound blurbs that I'd heard from other people and ideas I'd heard from our artists that I'd interviewed, and kind of compiling them into something that was fairly cohesive in the structure. This is what somebody actually had told me to structure my trailer as problem, aggravate, solution, benefits, call to action, right? Like standard sales page copy. The problem with doing that is that it doesn't necessarily feel personal to the reader. And especially on Kickstarter, you don't want to come across as a slick marketer. You want to come across as somebody who's talking about, let's make our world better. Let's make our community better. We have this idea that needs to get out there. So let's do this together. So I wanted my language had to be more on point and less markety. So those were my early drafts. And the way I got to where I am now is exactly what I said. I followed Donald Miller's story brand stuff. If you look up story brand worksheet in Google and open up images, you can follow along with what it is. And there's enough free information he provides on his site that you can piece it together. You don't have to buy a workshop or anything like that. Like, you can figure this out. It is the hero's journey through your product, basically.
Mm. Okay, so why Kickstarter over a normal launch? I'm really interested in this too, because I get the question a lot about, should I do Kickstarter? Yeah. And I've never run a Kickstarter campaign, and so I have to basically say, I don't know, otherwise I'll slip into those people that like, you know, try to give advice when they don't know what right. They're talking about. So I want to give you kind of my assumption before I hear.
Please.
This has been my assumption that I've shared, and, you know, tell me where I'm right and wrong. So my assumption has been that you have to have some sort of audience already before you go into it. So a lot of people make the mistake of, they can just go to Kickstarter, start this project, and then like Kickstarter people will find it and they'll get successfully funded.
Right.
Where my thing has been like, it's just another channel for the audience you already have. Like, you got to bring your own audience to it. You know, people talk about like how Seth Godin's campaign was this huge success, and it was like,
he has a huge audience
because it was Seth Godin. Like, you know, so that's my first assumption is, and to continue that assumption, it's like, once your audience gets your project to a certain threshold, which I don't know what that would be, but some kind of threshold where you start showing up on Kickstarter as like a popular project or close to funded or that kind of thing, then you kind of get this snowball effect where other Kickstarter people see it and will jump on it. But if you go with zero, and you don't have an audience, you're going to have a really hard time finding an audience on Kickstarter.
You're partially correct in all of your assumptions, but there are some modifications I would make to all of those, which is the thing that matters on Kickstarter is it needs to be a project that you can get up to 30% of the funding within the first couple of days so that it has enough momentum to soar through by the end of the campaign. So do you need a huge list? Do you need a big amount of followers to do that? Not necessarily, no. Do you, one thing that does matter on Kickstarter though is the number of backers in a day. So if you start off the campaign and you don't offer these easy wins for people to donate, I mean, that's the reason why a lot of campaigns offer $1 backing. $1 doesn't do anything for campaigns apart from count toward the Kickstarter algorithm of number of backers per day, right? So if you can get number of backers per day up, you're more likely to be favored by Kickstarter to be featured and all that stuff, right? That they take notice of that. Now, your assumption was you have to have a big audience. Not necessarily. You have to have, though, as with everything, it certainly helps because Kickstarter is not all of a sudden just going to start paying attention to you just because you're on Kickstarter. It just doesn't work that way with anything. So to get it to a certain point where Kickstarter features you or other Kickstarter backers are paying attention to you. So this is another tactic that's important is, once you have some significant momentum, reach out to other Kickstarter campaigns that are running that have backers who would be interested in your product, that there's overlap, right? Just like on Amazon, if you like this book, you'll like this book, so buy this book. It's the same with Kickstarter. To do cross promotions has a very high conversion. I've heard a number of other things, right, that works really well. For one, like your Facebook friends, chatting with your Facebook friends, using Green Inbox, which is a tool that allows you to reach out to all your Facebook friends, basically, not through spam, but to send them all an email, has a good, solid conversion. I've heard that Facebook ads and Instagram ads are super effective and that you can run your own campaign and that any Kickstarter campaign that's raised over $100,000 is doing that through advertising their products, which is not something you would expect from right. if you talk to anybody who's done a traditional book launch where you're sending people to Amazon. None of them would say that, right? So, I mean, it's in terms of, I'm using Kickstarter to answer that question, Tim. Is I'm using Kickstarter because it's novel. I've never done a book launch through this, so I'm excited to do it. I'm actually interested in doing it. it's exciting to have that number in front of people to get them motivated to break through the goal just as much as I'm motivated to break through it. And, this book is not a cheap book to print. Yeah. I don't want to go straight to Ingram and start printing books for... it's $13, $14 a copy. I want to start with a base that I can print a bunch of copies and send them out to people for as affordably as possible. I'm looking at my launch stuff. It's like any traditional type of launch where, you're sending updates a few times. I've got most of my updates written out, or at least outlined, like which day they're going out. So a lot of them say stuff like, hey, we just unlocked our first stretch goal, or we reached a milestone. We unlocked our second stretch goal. I just had a TEDx talk come out on this book. So I'm going to share that. I'm going to try and do a cross promotion. I'm going to let them know when I'm speaking at an event and let them know I'm going to be offline for a few days. And then at the very end, or I'm going to do a special deal midway through because there's always a slump in the launch midway through. And then at the very end, I'm going to say, time's running out, 24 hours left, 12 hours left. This ends at midnight. You're never going to get this again, blah, 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 all that stuff. So similar to other launches, but yeah.
So how much are you trying to raise and how did you pick that number?
So I still have some flexibility on this because I'm not 100% sure, but I'm actually leaning toward 10,000, which is actually pretty modest for a book that we're doing. You know, that's only like 300 copies of the book, but I'm leaning toward it like between $10,000 and $20,000, right? So that we can bust through that goal quick and have that be a story that people can latch on to. When you break through these goals, and just anything far beyond it makes the campaign look that much more remarkable. So that's what I'm leaning toward.
And is that something you found in your research is like, it's better to start low and break through it than shoot high?
You want to break through 30% or a third of your funding goal in 3 days. Because the research was that I found is pretty clear. The data was pretty clear that Kickstarters that didn't do that in the first 3 days tended to struggle, or it was like a stressful launch because you had no idea if you were going to hit your goal or not.
Thanks for listening to this episode of the Book Launch Show. For all the past episodes, the show notes, or to connect with me, you can go to booklaunchshow.com. Also, there is a link to Charlie's book project on Kickstarter. If you haven't yet, make sure you go and back that project. The book's great. I can't wait to get it. But even besides that, just as a way of saying thank you for Charlie coming on and sharing so much of his knowledge around Kickstarter launches. So that's at booklaunchshow.com. I also have dozens of free book marketing resources and articles that you can access at my website, booklaunch.com. And lastly, if you would like to support the show, you can do that by telling another author about the show and by visiting us on iTunes and leaving a rating and review. Thanks for subscribing and being a part of our work here at booklaunch.com. We will see you next time.